I want to actually continue on with our Crafted by God series we started a couple of weeks ago. And as we kind of get into it, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 again today, where we've been the last couple of weeks. But I want to introduce a book to you that has kind of been the one that inspired kind of this whole little sermon series. It's called God Stories. It's written by a guy named Andrew Wilson. He's British. You know, but we like him anyway. It's all right. He's still okay. He's not a Texas boy, but he is good. He has some neat things. But this book is called God Stories, Explorations in the Gospel of God, and it's been He's inspired the series through this, and by inspired by, for this week, I mean straight out stolen from, okay? So, you know, because, I mean, he writes about some pretty amazing things. And 2 weeks ago, we actually talked about how we began this series about being crafted by God, and we looked at God himself. We looked at the Creator. We talked about how God created everything we see, everything we don't see, the visible and the invisible, looking at Colossians 1. And we talked about what that meant 2 weeks ago. Last week, we introduced the concept of the image of God. We introduced humankind. We have 25 verses in Genesis 1 before mankind ever comes into play. And in verse 26, you and I appear. Mankind appears, and we talked about what it means to be created in the image of God, and we talked about the implications for all that. And we're gonna pick up with that same thing. We're going to be looking at the same passage we were at last week. And if I were to ask you this question, what's the first thing that God told people? What was the first commandment that he made? Probably most people would be like, don't eat an apple, right? That's what people think. That's actually not the first thing God says. The first thing that God actually says to do is found here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Well, we looked at 26 and 27 last week, and I want to read those again just to set the stage. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. But then we get to the part that I want to look at today. We're going to put it up here on the screen for you to see. This is verse 28. God blessed them, and he said to them, this is the first thing that God says to mankind that we have recorded in the scriptures. This is what he says. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. Did you kind of catch that? I want you to begin with what this passage begins with. What does this passage begin with? What does God do to them? Blesses them. This whole thing about be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, every creature that crawls on the earth, is part of this blessing of God. God is, you actually see earlier on in Genesis that there was other blessings and things like that happened, but notice that God blesses them and he gives them these commands. And basically, notice what this command is. You know, we have kids present, so we don't want to talk too much about this, but notice it talks about be fruitful and multiply, right? He talks about fill the earth, subdue it. Basically, he talks about to go have babies, travel and explore, and take charge over everything you see. This is what the whole thing kind of comes down to, doesn't it? You know, have children, have kids, travel, explore, reach out, go out, and take charge of everything that you see. I mean, the truth is, we have those desires kind of built into us. How many of you ever just like, I just need a road trip. I just need to go somewhere. You know, we have those, don't we? Don't we have those moments where we're kind of like, I just need to go see something I've never seen before. You know why you have that? Because God built that into us. That the very first thing that we're told to do is to go out, have kids, travel, spread out, explore, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over everything that we kind of see. Kind of the first thing that we see here. And I want you to catch this for a minute. This is almost like a blueprint that God has on humanity. All right? Let me say that again. This is the blueprint that God has on humanity, the blueprint that he has for humanity. We talked last week about how God created us in his image and how we reflect the glory of God. Last week, where we left off was basically where now God wants the entire earth to be filled with his glory. So what does he fill it with? You and me. Because we are God's creation. So he says, go out, have lots of babies, go travel, go explore, go do all that, and rule over everything that you see. And I love this kind of picture here. Because God created a creature in his own image, capable of carrying his glory that he tells us to go fill the earth, his idea is that we get married, we have kids, we travel, we explore, and we go to the ends of the earth, and we would take God's glory with us as we went. You with me on all that? We would go to Texas. We would go to Honduras. We'd go to Kenya. We'd go to Australia. We would go to the Himalayas. And in this way, as we, the image bearers of God, travel out, we fill the earth with God's glory, and this was the blueprint. You with me on all that? Stick with me here. You guys awake out there? I know you guys are. All right, everyone do a big stretch. Okay. All right. You catch this picture here? The blueprint is this. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Why? Because we were created in the image of God, and this was his blueprint for us. But we kind of know that that's not exactly how all that turned out, right? You kind of don't have to go real far to kind of see that little image of God even being corrupted, right? In fact, you just have to go to Genesis chapter 3, and you see it right there. You remember what happens in Genesis chapter 3? Kind of a big deal. You kind of remember what Adam and Eve did in Genesis chapter 3? Now all of a sudden, sin has entered the picture, right? Now all of a sudden, sin has corrupted this picture of the image of God, and sin has its hand on kind of everything. And the ones that are crafted in the image of God starts to do things that undermine this blueprint of God. Now all of a sudden, they no longer care about the stewardship of the earth, and now all of a sudden, they're going to be fighting the earth. You see that as part of the curse you see in Genesis chapter 3. Here, the blessing that God puts on them is be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. In Genesis 3, you see a curse, and you see that the earth is going to be fighting them. You see that. That's going on here. You also see that now people start abusing sex. They start even killing each other. You don't have to go very far to see that. You just have to go to Adam and Eve's kids to even see that happening, right? So all of a sudden, this blueprint of go out and spread and take my glory everywhere you go is already really messed up. And I kind of go, let's keep going a little bit further in Genesis here too, because I want you to see something here. When you get all the way to Genesis chapter 11, something interesting happens. Rather than spread out, I want you to see what happens. Rather than spread out and fill the earth, they pack in together. So Genesis chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, I want to read something here. It says, as people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make oven-fired bricks. They used bricks for stone and asphalt for mortar. And now we're going to put these next couple of verses up here on the screen because I want you to see what happens here. So they have spread out and they said, hey, we've gotten to where we build these bricks and everything else. Look at what they say in verses 4 and 5. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Did you catch that here? Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to be what? Scattered throughout the earth. You kind of catch this picture here for a minute? I don't want you to lose sight of this. You know, if most of us are familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel, let me just tell you, it doesn't turn out too well for these people. We're going to read verse 5 and 6 here in a minute and kind of look at what happens here. But I want you to catch the thinking that's going on here. Remember what the blueprint was? Be fruitful, multiply, spread out, and fill the earth. Now they want to build two things, right? Now, rather than take the glory of God in the earth, what do they want to build up? They're themselves. Notice they want to build this tower to make a name for ourselves. Now, all of a sudden, it shifted from God's glory to our glory. Now, notice, instead of go out and spread and fill the earth, what do they want to do? They want to build a city, right? Why? So that they're not going to be scattered, so that they're not going to be kind of settled. They won't have to travel and fill the earth. They can be right there together. Notice it's about these two things, I think. Glory, rather than focus on the glory of God, they wanted to focus on the glory of themselves. And rather than go out and be obedient to God and spread, they want to find security among themselves and be right there together. The real issue here is really kind of about obedience, isn't it? You know, people think that this, you could almost read this passage and go, well, God just hates big cities and buildings and tall towers. That's a misreading of this. That's not what it's about at all. This is truly about the obedience to the blueprint that God has laid out. The be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Now, They don't want to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now they want to, instead of take the glory of God to the rest of the world, they want to build up their own glory and stay together and kind of pack in for a sense of security. They don't want to spread out. The blueprint's been corrupted here. I love verse 5. This is one of the funniest things to me. Look at this here in verse 5. Then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the humans were building. I love that picture. Do you picture this here for a minute? The God who created Mount Everest is going, hey, you're building a big tower. That's impressive. I can't even see it from up here. Let me come on down there. Wait, did you build something? Oh, hey, there it is. You know, the guy who built the mountains isn't too impressed with their tower, right? Their glory that they were trying to build for themselves, their name that they're trying to build for themselves, it pales in comparison to the glory of God. And God is not impressed at all by what he sees here. He's not impressed by the things that they have done here. And it's just kind of one of those funny things. So you get to verse 7 and 8, and you kind of see what happens here. God thwarts their plans, and he scatters them. Notice what verse 7 and 8 says. Come, let's go down there and confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. So from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Now notice, why did God do this? It's about obedience, isn't it? Now this blueprint of be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth is now all of a sudden about, let's build a name for ourselves. Let's build a city where we can all be together and we can have this sense of security together. Now that blueprint has been changed and twisted and morphed into something that's kind of bad. But God kind of lets, you know, anybody have those moments in your life where you just kind of do some dumb things and God lets you do that for a while? And then he kind of gets involved a little bit. You know, God lets our foolishness go for a little while, and he kind of does that for a little bit. It's actually the very next chapter where God starts to do something a little bit different. And starting in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 11, the end of the chapter, introduces a guy named Abram. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, I want you to see what God says to Abram. We're going to put that up here on the screen for you. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, keep in mind that this whole thing has been about obedience, right, up until now. This whole thing is God is going, hey, we have this blueprint. I want you to go spread my glory through all the earth. And the people go, well, we'd rather build a name for ourselves and we'd rather have this sense of security. It's about obedience. You know what word most people hate? Obey. Man, as soon as I said that word, some of you kind of scowled a little bit. You know why? Because we hate that word obey, don't we? Doesn't that word obey kind of imply that we're at someone else's whims, that we're having to listen to someone else, we're no longer in charge? We don't like that word at all, right? Some of you are going, I don't like that word because I'm married. Some of you are going, I don't like that word because I'm 16 years old. I wasn't looking at my daughter. She's not 16 till tomorrow, so she's not a part of that, you know. So, but I mean, isn't that one of those things? We hate being told what to do. Anybody hate being told what to do? My wife was like the one hand that went up. My wife and Mary Goodjoin, they're both right there going, I hate being told what to do. We kind of hate that. That was my wife and I actually, since Monday was a holiday and it was Labor Day and we had the day off, we actually loaded up the kayaks first thing in the morning and went kayaking through the Pecan Bayou. And it's one of those things we love to do. And I love to just get out there, and I love to just see creation. I love to just kind of paddle through all that. And as we were doing that on Monday, I was thinking about one of the first times I had ever been in a river. It wasn't kayaking, but I was canoeing. I was part of the Boy Scouts when I was growing up, and we had this foreign exchange student that was there in Midland. His name was Masaki. Masaki was from Japan. Obviously, some of you are going, that sounds like a Japanese name, because it is. You guys are geniuses. You're so smart. Masaki... I don't know how he ever got permission to be a foreign exchange student in America because the guy knew like three words of English. I mean, I swear, you could not carry on a conversation with him. He was just lost the whole time. And I'll never forget. So I've Boy Scout trip, we actually are going canoeing. We're going to one of the rivers here in Texas. We're having some rapids and all that kind of stuff, and we have to learn how to canoe, and people are teaching the strokes and all that kind of stuff. Misaki, who hardly speaks any English, is going with us. Now, we're going to be camping out on the river. Everything that we need to survive, food and water and sleeping bags and all that kind of stuff, is right there in the canoe with you. Okay? Now, if you don't handle rapids well, do you know what happens to your canoe? Yes. Now, so because Misaki wasn't real good at English, we decided to put him with one of the scoutmasters, the guy who actually owned all like 15 of the canoes we were taking. I mean, this guy was big into canoeing. This guy was big into all that. We're like, the guy who needs the most help is Misaki. We're going to put him with Steve. So Steve is in the back of the boat, which is where the boss in a canoe is, if you want to consider it that way. And the boss would sit there and say, all right, draw, strike, ride, and all that kind of stuff to help direct the canoe. And Misaki, this poor guy who hardly speaks any English, had no idea what was going on. So they're in the middle of going through these big rapids, and Misaki would be sitting there, and Steve would yell out an instruction from the back, and Misaki would turn around and go, huh? By that point, it was a little bit too late. So, you know, canoe had swamped over, and they're now going for a swim and floating down the rest of the rapids. You know, that was like the very first rapid of the day. It's like 9:30 a.m., you know, and this is how their day is starting. I swear, every single rapid they hit, they ended up in the water. They ended up wet. Misaki reached the point now. It was fun to watch. I hate to say that because I wasn't experiencing it. It was fun to watch, you know. I was nice and dry, and Steve and Misaki, their stuff is soaked, everything else, And their stuff, you know, we would make sure that they went through the river last. I think, you know, we claim it was because we wanted to be able to catch all their stuff that wasn't tied down well enough, you know, so that people could grab their stuff in the river. Truth is, we just wanted to watch it. we're there, and Misaki would get so frustrated that he would just finally raise up his paddle in the air and just start yelling things in Japanese. And, you know, and I mean, it was just this horrible little picture of, it was awesome, y'all. it was one of those things. But what's funny is he was not capable of hearing the instructions that are being there because he didn't know English real well. So he's confused and he's kind of struggling here. Notice what's going on here. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 11 for a minute because I want you to see something here. Notice exactly why they want to build a city, because we're supposed to be scattered throughout the earth and we don't want that. Do you kind of catch that here? Do you think they understood what they were supposed to be doing? This is just them flat out going, I don't want to obey. This is them flat out going, I don't want to follow this blueprint that God has. I want to do things my own way. I want to do it this way. And so the people try and do that. And then you get to Genesis chapter 12, and God calls Abram together. And you see that God blesses Abram. He told him that he's going to be exceptionally fruitful, that he promised he's going to have more kids that he could count throughout the rest of Genesis, and you keep reading here. He renamed him Abraham, and he said that he's going to be the father of many nations, and through him, all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through him. The idea was that as Abraham and his offspring had children and spread throughout the world, there'd be billions of them. And those billions would take the image of God to Texas, to Honduras, to Kenya, to Australia, to the Himalayas, that God would choose his chosen people here, and they would take the image of God and spread it. And in truth, that happens somewhat. You actually get to Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, and it says that, I want to read it, it says, but the Israelites were fruitful, increased rapidly, multiplied, and became extremely numerous so that the land was filled with them. So this happens. I mean, we know that they start spreading. You actually see Exodus chapter 1 that this plan, that they start spreading and they're going out and they're subduing the earth, they're filling the entire earth. But just because they're spreading doesn't mean that they're being obedient to the blueprint, does it? It doesn't. And so this blueprint is still kind of there, but now all of a sudden you see from Exodus chapter 1 that God's people have spread out, that they're inhabiting the earth, but yet that issue of obedience still isn't there. Now, I want to look at one other passage today, and this is probably one of the most important passages in the entire scripture, and it was spoken by Jesus. This is over in Matthew chapter 28, and he's sitting on a hillside. This is after he's already been resurrected. He's been put to death. He's been resurrected, and he's having one last conversation with his disciples. And up on this mountain, Jesus, who never had children from multiplying, who never left the area called Israel, what we consider Israel, he never went outside of that. And this guy, Jesus, who is more than just a guy, by the way, But Jesus, who never had children and never left the area that he lived in, this little area of Israel, here's what he says: go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Luke continues on and records something else that was said in this conversation that Matthew doesn't. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Do you catch this picture here? What was the blueprint? Be fruitful, multiply, spread out, fill the earth. The blueprint hasn't changed. The blueprint of being fruitful and taking the image of God throughout the entire world hasn't changed a bit. God is still passionately committed to having his people carry the image of the glory of God everywhere else. But the blueprint is no longer about having kids, but going to the children that are already there and baptizing and teaching them. It's no longer about filling the spaces where nobody lives, but instead it's about filling the spaces where everyone lives with the disciples of Jesus, with the disciples of those who are carrying the image of God. In other words, the blueprint is for human beings to still reproduce themselves and to travel. It's just that reproducing yourself is now called discipleship, and travel is what we now call missions. The blueprint hasn't changed. Be fruitful, multiply. Multiply yourselves and spread. When Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 28, you could go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and see the same thing. You kind of catch that picture? I have a little video that I actually, in our Fall Invest last year, I showed this on a week that we talked about Moses being a missionary. And I showed this video, but I want to show it again because I think it really speaks to this. So let's watch this video again. Where has God called you to spread the image and the glory of God? I don't know that, but I do know it includes Brown County. It includes your school and your workplace and your neighborhood. It might include Honduras when we go in March. It might not. It might include going down to Houston and doing some disaster relief there. It might not. The point is, everywhere you go, you've been called to spread the gospel, to be fruitful, to multiply, and spread God's glory over the entire earth. That blueprint from Genesis 1 is still in play today, but now it just looks a little bit differently. Now it's about making disciples and filling the earth with the glory of God by sharing the love of God with people. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be missionaries to Walmart and Brookshire's and everywhere we go. Use our lives and use us for your kingdom, and help us to remember that we are here to spread your glory and your image to this world that so desperately needs it. Like we talked about last week, we're part of the biggest project in all of history, the restoration of the image of God in humanity. And use us to do that. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.